You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Welcome back to the podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. We took a bit of a long break at the beginning of the year when we went into hibernation.
Only to be briefly disturbed in February when we were nudged awake by a passing gravitational wave. And then a weasel chewed through the podcast cable and knocked us offline for a couple more months.
Indeed. I hear that intrepid weasel then went on to shut down the LHC in April and then sadly died. But as you alluded to, Brendan, the big announcement was from the LIGO collaboration, who detected gravitational waves, ripples in the fabric of space-time, and that unsurprisingly makes up our lead story in this edition. Brendan has been investigating how these waves could be used to test the limits of our understanding of gravity. But before we get to that, we should mention that there was another experiment in the news in April, which will also be testing the foundations of physics.
That's right. France's Microscope satellite experiment was launched into orbit to test the equivalence principle.
Now, we usually talk about the equivalence principle in the same breath as Einstein, because it forms the bedrock of his theory of gravity, general relativity. But Microscope is recreating an experiment we usually associate with Galileo.
Galileo reasoned that if you drop two objects off the edge of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, they should both hit the ground at the same time, regardless of their mass or what they are made of. Even a feather and a hammer should, in theory, hit the ground at the same time in the absence of air resistance.
That hammer-feather experiment was famously carried out on the moon in the 1970s by Apollo 15 astronaut Dave Scott.
And a friend of the FQXI podcast, neuroscientist David Eagleman, repeated the test by hurling graduate students off a tower to...
He did, but I don't think that was to put Galileo to the test, Brendan.
No, you could be right. Eagleman probably threw his students off a building just for fun. But seriously, on the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast, we will put a link to Eagleman's interview with Zia in which he explains how those tests helped him better understand how the human mind perceives time.
But back to the equivalence principle. The point is, Galileo's prediction has been verified to tremendous accuracy in labs on Earth, to one part in 10 trillion, according to the European Space Agency's press release. But that accuracy is limited because experimenters have to shield the tests from seismic activity and anything else that could disrupt the results. In space, they can improve the accuracy at least 100 times, which is their plan.
The Microscope experiment uses two pairs of nested cylinders. In one pair, both cylinders are made of the same material, an alloy of the heavy metals platinum and rhodium. In the other pair, the inner cylinder is platinum and rhodium, and the outer one is an alloy of light metals, titanium, aluminum, or aluminium, and vanadium?
Vanadium, yeah.
Or vanadium.
I don't know.
Titanium, aluminium, and vanadium. If the equivalence principle is correct, then as Microscope orbits Earth, all four cylinders should feel the same pull and move in the same way. Any deviation would be a sign of the breakdown of the equivalence principle.
And that would be exciting news. Physicists have been struggling to unite the general theory of relativity, which describes the motion of cosmic bodies, with quantum theory, which describes the behavior of atoms and subatomic particles. So any experimental evidence that could help them get to grips with how general relativity may break down would be immense.
There are some alternative theories, some versions of string theory, for instance, that predict that the equivalence principle should be violated. This might also have implications for the existence of dark matter. Most physicists believe that the bulk of matter in the universe takes a mysterious, invisible form. We think that dark matter is there because we see the effects of its gravity on visible matter, but we don't know what that dark matter is made from. But some have argued that maybe there is no dark matter, but instead our understanding of gravity is wrong.
Anyway, we shall have to wait and see if Microscope does spot any discrepancy with the equivalence principle, and of course we'll keep you posted on that. More details about the launch are available on the podcast page, and if they do spot something, they may have a result that rivals the announcement in February from the LIGO collaboration about the first ever detection of gravitational waves. These gravitational waves were released when two black holes merged, sending ripples through space-time. Brendan, you've been finding out more about what that discovery means for the foundations of physics.
Indeed. I spoke with physicist Alessandra Buonanno, a member of the LIGO team, and director at the Max Planck Institute for Gravitational Physics in Potsdam, Germany, and FQXI member Ted Jacobson from the University of Maryland in College Park, an expert on quantum gravity. They told me about how gravitational waves could be used alongside optical light and other standard observational techniques to probe astronomical objects and to solve some mysteries about neutron stars. They also described what the detection tells us about quantum gravity. I began by asking Buonanno how surprised the team was to detect the gravitational waves now, or whether this was something they were more or less expecting.
The fact is that for binary black holes, we really didn't know the event rates. The predictions were very uncertain, many orders of magnitude, being even close to zero. So we really didn't know.
Alessandra Buonanno at the Max Planck Institute in Potsdam and professor of physics at the University of Maryland in College Park is a member of the team behind the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO. LIGO is a gravity wave detector. Gravity waves are tiny ripples in the gravitational field that can travel through space and time, much like electromagnetic waves created by, say, a cell phone tower. Except gravity waves are much harder to detect. This past February, after decades of work, the LIGO team announced the first confirmation of a gravity wave signal. The detection was an amazing vindication of predictions of general relativity made 100 years ago. LIGO is particularly attuned to the gravity wave signal created when two black holes orbit around each other and eventually collide. This is a process called black hole merger. This merger is the type of event which LIGO detected. I asked Buonanno, how rare are events like this, and when can we expect LIGO to observe the next signal?
Well, we have determined in one of the papers that we put out as part of the collaboration, we computed the event rates based on this detection. We only analyzed 46 days of the first run, but the run lasted from mid-September up to mid-January. So we are now finishing to analyze the rest of the data. And the prediction would say even in this data we could observe something. But also in middle of January, the interferometer has been shut down and it will be upgraded a bit to improve the sensitivity and will come back online in July with a better sensitivity. And it will start a new run that will take 6 months. So for the second run, what we call O2, so the first one was O1, this is O2. If you look at the predictions in our paper, there are some figures, and we could observe between a few events up to even hundreds of events in 6 months. So, yes, so the expectations are quite good. So we have to be, of course, prepared, you know, and we are doing our best to be ready when the second observing run starts.
What are you doing with the detector now to make it more sensitive?
So in this second run, we plan to improve a little bit more at low frequencies. Then in 2017, start increasing also the laser power and then improve the high frequency part of the noise curve.
Confirming general relativity in this way is a tremendous achievement, but physicists will be even more excited if LIGO can show us something that contradicts general relativity. I asked Buonanno if and when LIGO may be able to discover signs of new physics.
Well, we already actually, we had one paper on tests of general relativity because, of course, one of the great things of this event is the fact that for the first time we are seeing, you know, the high velocity strong field regime when two black holes go around each other and then they merge and they form a new black hole. We did several tests And we didn't find any deviation from general relativity.
As LIGO becomes more sensitive, one nano added, they could see something new. One thing to watch out for are signals of quantum gravity and the graviton. Quantum theory already describes the fundamental forces other than gravity in terms of particles, such as the photon in electromagnetism. Quantum gravity theory will help complete the picture of the universe and allow us to predict what happened in the very early universe and what happens inside black holes. Some proposed theories of quantum gravity predict a new particle called the graviton, and that this graviton will have a mass, unlike the massless photon. LIGO can already say something about the mass of any speculative graviton and the speed at which it could travel.
We have put a bound on the mass of the graviton. Of course, there are no theories of gravity where the consistent theory of gravity where the graviton has a mass, but you can take more a phenomenological approach and assume that the dispersion relation for the gravitational waves is not the one of GR, so the velocity is not the velocity of light, but you know, you modify it, it will depend on the frequency or the energy. And so you can actually use the event to put a bound on the mass of the graviton, on the Compton wavelength. So this we could also do. So we didn't find, if you want, any deviation from the speed of light, but we could bound the Compton wavelength. So we are already starting, doing this test. It's just that the tests have not revealed any deviation from general relativity.
The most significant thing, immediate impact, is LIGO works. We're going to have a flood of gravitational wave data over the coming decades or even forever. I mean, it's a whole new part of science now. And that's the biggest thing, immediate impact.
Ted Jacobson is a physicist at the University of Maryland in College Park, Maryland, and for full disclosure, my former thesis advisor. Jacobson studies many aspects of quantum gravity and the mysteries of black holes. We talked about the future impact of gravity waves on quantum gravity and other foundational areas of physics. He said the current observation has already had an impact on new physics. Along with the constraints on the graviton, the new data also restricts theories that predict different speeds for different types of gravity waves. Now that we know gravity waves are real and that the detector technology works, Jacobson says we can look forward to even more precise and strict constraints on new theories.
In terms of testing the fundamental field equations or field behavior of the gravitational field, it's already come out with information that Einstein's theory is right, and there's no sign of alternative theories being preferred. But that sort of thing will just become stronger and stronger. I mean, the kind of resolution will get more and more precise measurements that will allow us to rule out even tiny deviations or to uncover tiny deviations, which is more likely what would be interesting. You could imagine that in the future, when we have incredibly precise data, we will uncover something peculiar that goes beyond the current theory and requires some new science. So that's one of the hopes for foundational, but it's totally unpredictable.
According to Jacobson, when it comes to black holes, gravity waves give us the hope to resolve deep questions about the nature of black holes. Some of these questions have confounded theorists for years or even decades. One current debate that podcast listeners may recognize is on whether a person falling into a black hole would have a fairly smooth ride or would be burnt to a crisp by a firewall.
In the future, we should have much sharper measurements, which means much clearer signals of the space-time geometry near the horizon. I would think that this would actually have relevance for the question of whether the horizon has a firewall at it or is a smooth horizon. Nothing could really be more fundamental than that, probably.
Astronomers can also get excited about using the gravitational waves to study cosmic objects in more detail. This will help fill out the pictures we already have through visible light, radio waves, X-rays, and gamma rays. For instance, gravity waves will allow us to learn more about neutron stars, as Buonanno explained.
So we would like to detect not only binary black holes, we would like to see also binary neutron stars. and binary, you know, composed of neutron star and black holes. That is also very interesting because you don't have just, you know, vacuum, but you have matter with the neutron star. And so you can observe the neutron star for several minutes. If you want, there are many other things that we would like to do before reaching 2019. There could be electromagnetic counterparts. Astrophysicists think that neutron star black hole could be progenitors of a short gamma ray burst. And it will be impressive if we could see an electromagnetic counterpart of the gravitational wave signal. And so there is a lot of activity between people working gravitational wave and electromagnetic astronomy to make it happen, to have these follow-ups and find the possible electromagnetic counterparts, either in gamma, in the optical spectrum, in X-ray or in radio, etc. So this is also very exciting.
That was Alessandra Buonanno and Ted Jacobson talking to Brendan. And you can read more about the long-term implications of the gravitational waves detection on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.